This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. Do you post selfies on Instagram, Facebook, or Snapchat? What do you like to have as a backdrop? A sunset on a beach? A panorama of your favorite city from the observation deck of a skyscraper? A forest vista you happen upon during a hike? The explosion of selfies as a popular form of personal expression has caught the attention of museum curators and marketing professionals. The result has been a conscious effort to invite visitors to use museum artworks as backdrops, and in some cases to develop exhibitions that are made for the selfie craze. To explore the direction and significance of this trend in museums, I am joined by the Director of Marketing and Communications for the Cincinnati Art Museum, Jill Dunn, the Communications Director of the Contemporary Arts Center at the Lois and Rosenthal Center of Contemporary Art, Josh Maddy, and the Art Deputy Director and Head of Public and Academic Engagement, Syra Levinson, who is with the Cleveland Museum of Art. To join our discussion, call 513-419-7100 or email wvxu.org. We're on Facebook and Twitter, and we have shared out a selfie or two of the group that's here in the studio in the spirit of the day, and that's the spirit of our discussion. Welcome, everybody, to Cincinnati Edition. Syra, let's begin with you. When did the Cleveland Art Museum begin to notice an interest in the visitors in wanting to actually use pieces of art in your collection as the backdrop?
Well, as soon as they were able and allowed to take photos in the galleries. So we have actually been tracking quite closely the use of technology in people's everyday lives and thinking about how we can use our Art Lens gallery space, which is a dedicated digital space to help people make connections with works of art, play games, use their cell phones. We have an app called Art Lens, which has all sorts of tools and ways to encourage people actually to see themselves in the galleries. So we've actually been tracking this quite closely for a number of years, and at this point we're encouraging of people. There's been a transition, I think, in museums overall between the no photography policy to the please photography policy, and we're definitely on that trajectory as well.
Okay, I want to talk about those rules changes, because some people who are used to going to art museums, or maybe go sometimes, may not ever be quite clear what they're allowed to do, and we'll come back to that. Josh, the Contemporary Art Museum has a different vibe than the Cincinnati Art Museum or the Cleveland Museum of Art. How has this whole trend manifested itself at Contemporary Art Center? And is this something that was there from as soon as there were iPhones and that kind of cameras embedded in phones?
We definitely saw the trend happening earlier than it was, you know, widely accepted. But definitely we started to embrace, you know, several years ago, the idea that, like, people want to be a part of the art. They want to express themselves within the idea of contemporary art, several years ago, but with the Ugo Rondinone exhibition with this past May at the CAC, we saw this explosion of people posing within the exhibition, finding their expression within the exhibition.
So there was a moment at which you just saw this ramping up of use of this and a recognition on visitors' parts that, hey, this is a new way I can interact and immerse myself in the art.
Yeah, honestly, we were working on contracts, adjusting the contract to figure out how we could...
The contracts with the artist.
Yeah, with the artist to figure out a way that they could understand that, visitors could be expressing themselves within the art and feeling like they were documenting an experience within that art, you know.
I'll come back to that in a minute, because that's a part of the museum experience that the visitor doesn't see. But, you know, what are the concerns of the artist that Jill, has the Cincinnati Art Museum actually changed its rules, its formal rules, that if I go to the front desk and say, what can I do with my iPhone, what can I do with my manual phone, will you tell them something different than you were telling them 3 years ago?
Maybe not 3 years ago, but yes, 10 years ago, we were much more strict with our photography policies. Every piece of artwork we have has a, if it does not have a no photography sign, then photography is allowed. And so I think more than 80% of our collection is not going to have any kind of warning about.
And we're talking about your permanent collection as opposed to Contemporary Art Center, which has a constantly changing exhibition program.
Exactly. I think it's a little more challenging for the Contemporary Art Center, but we do have, I mean, we're an encyclopedic museum, but we do have a lot of contemporary art ourselves, and a lot of our temporary exhibitions are more contemporary. And then we have to get, as Josh said, certain permission from the artists to allow photography, but we're definitely making that part of our contracts in order to allow our visitors to do that.
Let's explore that just a minute. What are the artists' concerns? Or maybe those have changed too. Maybe those have shifted in the last 5 to 10 years because the artist understands that the culture has shifted. But what are artists concerned about?
Well, I think one of the concerns, they certainly want their work to be respected and not modified in any way. So I think originally, some artists were more protective of not wanting their works to be seen outside of a museum experience. But I think that's definitely changed. And now more and more artists want people to kind of document their experience and show that to other people. It gives their work a lot more exposure.
Especially if they put it on Instagram or Facebook and cite the artist.
Exactly.
Which would be really good. What about some very practical things? And any of the three of you can jump in on this. What about selfie sticks? Because there is a concern about safety of the art. What about lines, sort of clustering, a clustering at a particularly popular piece that people love to stand in front of and take the selfie with? Does this pose problems of keeping the traffic moving? What about selfie sticks? Let's just start with that.
So the Cincinnati Art Museum did prohibit selfie sticks just as a way to ensure that our art is not damaged by the sticks. We don't want you to have an extra item that can be forgotten about and accidentally bump into one of the pieces of art. So we have taken the selfie stick out of the equation. We don't allow that, just like we don't allow even umbrellas in our museum, because we don't want that to be possible.
Because they have ends on them and they can poke things.
Exactly.
Syra, what about you at the Cleveland Art Museum of Art? What about selfie sticks? I think we've lost Syra here for a minute. We'll get her back. She's still in Cleveland today. Josh, what about the problem of, you said this exploded at one of your exhibits. Did this cause bottlenecks in the process of moving people through? What museum people talk about is throughput, which is probably one of the least interesting terms I've ever heard.
we certainly have bottlenecks in the sense that people are posing with the art, you know, arranging themselves around particular moments within the art in the exhibition. But it hasn't caused a problem in the sense of experiencing that art.
Syra, are you back with us?
I'm back with you.
Wonderful. We were talking about just rules and at your institution. What about selfie sticks? What about keeping people moving? Any limits on how long a person can stand in front of a piece of art, work with it?
Sure. Absolutely. I actually wish we had that problem. Instead, in museums, we tend to have the challenge of getting people to spend enough time in front of a picture. I think the average amount of time that a visitor spends in front of a work of art is around 3 seconds in an art museum. And We definitely feel that if you spent more than 3 seconds, if that goes up to 30 seconds, or if that turns into a conversation with a friend, then likely you're getting more out of that experience and that work of art is going to mean more to you. So we encourage people to linger. We want them to spend their time with a painting, and we want them to look closely and turn that into an experience that's meaningful in their lives.
Do you think taking a selfie actually does promote that, of taking the art more seriously, though? I mean, and well, yeah, go ahead.
It's a good question. My 14-year-old daughter said to me actually just yesterday, you know, if people have been taking selfies for longer, we'd have a lot more information about what the world used to be like in different times and places. So for young people, clearly a selfie is a kind of a historical record of, like a journal used to be, or like letter writing, what people were thinking, what they were looking at, what mattered to them in their lives. And so, you know, we have to roll with that if that's what a selfie does now. Anytime you build a connection with a work of art, with anything, anytime you spend more time with it, it's going to mean something more to you. So who's to say what the right way to spend time with a work of art is? I leave that to every person who comes in the front door to decide. Of course, we want people to go deeper. We want it to be more meaningful. But if that happens through taking a picture of yourself in front of a painting, then I'm open to it. Now, of course, if it's a kind of, we've probably all seen online, you know, photos of the Mona Lisa with gazillions of people in front of it. And, you know, it seems like what's more important is saying you were there than actually experiencing the painting. We'd rather that, you know, you spend some time and you want to look at the painting itself, but art museums would be lucky if every object had the same kind of crowd around it that the Mona Lisa does.
I just want to raise one question before we do have a caller, and I want to get to that in just a second. But have there been studies, either at your institutions or in the profession generally, where people have been, people who are doing, using selfies as they go through an art museum, and there's discussion with them about what's going on in their head? Why are they doing this? What's the motivation? Any data you have, either locally or professionally?
Anecdotally, I know there have been some national looks at how your experience changes when you're using your device, whether you're taking selfies or you're using your phone to research an artist. That is happening, and I think among millennials, when you're looking at why, I think they're trying to, as kind of Cyril was saying earlier, kind of demonstrate that they are part of an experience. They don't want to visit something unless they can have some type of documentation to share with their friends and make it more of a shared experience. But I know our museum specifically hasn't asked people why they're taking selfies, but we've certainly noticed that it happens more and more frequently every day.
I think that the CAC is recognizing that what people lack, you know, is an actual tactile physical experience. You know, that you can basically stay home, watch a movie on Netflix, or you can watch anything on Hulu, television show, etc. And that doesn't have it a notion of presence. You know, so what a museum can offer, what the CAC, what the Cincinnati Art Museum, or what the, you know, the Freedom Center, et cetera, can offer to you is an actual present feeling that, you know, you and your friends can have an experience there in that moment.
The artifact gives a reality that is impossible to communicate virtually.
Yes.
As much as we can communicate virtually, there is something about standing in front of that real painting and looking at it and learning from it that's really important. We have a call from Sandy, and I want to make sure that Sandy has a chance to ask their question. Sandy, what's your question or your observation?
Hi, Dan. This is Sandy Summer, and I want to say that I love our museums here in Cincinnati, and I often frequent them with my grandchildren. And we sometimes have never been chased out or anything like that. We've been allowed to sit and draw, et cetera. But I have a question about the wonderful Calder sculpture that's right outside the cafe at the CAM. It hangs there in a static way as if it's a hanging sculpture rather than a dynamic mobile. And I was wondering, since we're talking about interaction and making the customers come feel like they're actually having some kind of experience, is there any notion of putting a small fan or something that would occasionally make the Calder move as it was intended by the artist?
You know, Sandy, that is the first I have heard that recommendation, but I'm happy to share that with our curators. I think with the Calder, we do have a little bit of a challenge. But yeah, that's something I can certainly share with our staff. We do have curators who are experts in the art and the way that we show it to our visitors. So I'm happy to pass that on. But that's not something I've heard discussed before, but it's definitely worth looking into.
Thank you for calling, Sandy. And Josh, you have a exhibit that's opening later this month, April 20th, if I'm not mistaken, at the Contemporary Arts Center. And it's called Swing House. It's featuring Swing House, featuring the art of a local artist, Mark DeYoung, who lives in Camp Washington. And it's going to feature a three-story room with a giant swing. This seems to me made for selfies. Was that part of what you discussed as your curators and various people said, ooh, this is a good idea?
As a marketing team, we get excited about anything that can place someone within, you know, that notion of place or, you know, that it can have that grand presentation. And, you know, obviously Mark's work is you know, friendly to documentation. He has the, you know, swing house and the square house and a circle house. Like his work within Northside and Camp Washington is incredibly like selfie friendly. So yeah, we are excited about that and the Chris Larson exhibition that will be paired with that. And I think people will find incredible moments to be able to like place themselves within that exhibition and within that work.
To immerse themselves in the very experience. Syra, you have a very popular exhibit, Infinity Mirrors, opening in July at the Cleveland Museum of Art. And every place this exhibit has been, two things. One, it's sort of blown the doors off in terms of attendance. And two, it has been just a favorite for people who love selfies.
Mm-hmm. So Yayoi Kusama is a living artist. She's in her 80s, and she's been practicing artist since her 20s. She's created what's really a multi-sensory spectacle. And this show traverses all different stages in her career, but the centerpiece of the exhibition is an experience. There's seven of them. They're called Infinity Rooms. And you walk up to it. I don't want to be a spoiler, but you walk up to it. Looks like a white cube. You go inside, and you see this kind of explosion. It's a mirrored space. There's different kinds of objects and lighting that's in the room. It's totally immersive. Kusama was creating this artwork, you know, way before we had cell phones, before we had selfies, but she's also been creating it as that kind of cultural fixation and technology has been evolving with image making, and it's very much part of what she thinks about. And so, yeah, there's at every other venue, the exhibition is sold out, and there's people camped out lining up to get tickets. You can call in advance and get yours now, even though the show opens in July. But her work is really about seeing yourself reflected. And so, you know, as people pick up on her themes and they can themselves participate in it, it does help you feel like you're part of the experience with the artist.
We have images of that, some of the pieces of that exhibit on our website, wvxu.org, and people can go and take a look at it. And some of them are just stunning and also fun because of all of the energy that is just in that those exhibits. It really is kind of interesting to see how that one's going to play out for you. I'm sure that your marketing people, I'm sitting across from a couple of marketing people who would love to see this because it really, that's the sort of thing that brings people in. And when they're there to see that special exhibit, hopefully they also visit some of the rest of the museum that maybe they've never explored before.
Absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, we're here to try to make art mean something in people's everyday lives. And so however that happens, however those connections are made, we want to facilitate that. And when you have an artist who thinks about that and presents that, then we hope that's just simply a jumping off point to take and make your own however you know that works for you.
Jill, about, I don't know, 4 to 6 months ago, there was an exhibit at the Cincinnati Art Museum. You went into a gallery, and there was a cube lit from the inside. Mm-hmm. It was and transformed the entire gallery without anything else on any wall, just into this incredible texture. Now, here's the difference between maybe the millennials you're talking about and an old guy like me. I took a photo of that and put it out on my Facebook page. I didn't put myself in it. I shot the gallery and the sort of immersive environment that was created. It never crossed my mind to do it as a selfie. Now, I don't know what that does. I don't know what it says, except that I'm old.
But that's a wonderful piece and a great example of what we're talking about. So that's Anila Kayum Aga, All the Flowers Are for Me. And it was from June to October that we had that. And we had so many people posting selfies or having other people take their photos underneath the artwork, interlacing with the shadows that the artwork created. And the artwork was, our artist was very supportive of that. She knew that it would welcome people to be part of the artwork.
You know, Sarah, were you about to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think at the end of the day, what we are responsible for as art museums and as visitors is to try to become a little bit more aware of the possibilities of making images. I love when you were describing that people were intermingling with the shadows. My question is not so much whether you take a selfie, it's do you actually look at the phone? Do you look at the image that you're making? Are you making decisions about where you want to be seen and how you want to be seen? Are you looking more closely than back at the artwork? It's not to selfie or not to selfie, but it's what do you do with it and how do you think about it? You can walk through a room and not take a picture and have a very shallow experience. You can walk through a room and take a picture and also have a shallow experience, or you can go very deep. Our role as a museum should be to help people get a little bit more visually aware so that they can get more out of both the image viewing but also the image making and think about it in a deeper way using artists as their guide.
You know, I have to say that professionally I'm a historian, so I tend to be a bit of a word person. And I feel like I've spent a lot of my adult life learning not just to look at art, but to see it, to really explore it, to stand in front of something for an extended period of time, to come back to it multiple times when I'm in different moods. And, you know, maybe that's old-fashioned, but there's really a value in trying to put yourself into that artist's situation, not so much by, not by inserting myself physically, I don't know, but I just don't want that kind of challenge to be lost. Josh, any reaction to that?
We are, I'd say, 2.5 years into free admission at the Contemporary Art Center. And what we have learned is that you can create a space for someone to have an experience of their own design, you know, that basically you can come to the CAC, you can have a coffee, you can have lunch, you can have breakfast, And then you can enter the exhibitions, and you can spend as much time as you like there. You know, it's not about just coming to a family festival on the final Saturday at the CAC. You can just come with your children and work your way up from the second floor gallery all the way out to the sixth floor in the Yum Museum and have this experience.
Or what my wife and I have come to do is to go to the the Cincinnati Art Museum or the Taft Museum of Art and literally just focus on a gallery at a time and not, you know, have the discipline not necessarily to go beyond that gallery and really just immerse yourself in that gallery. One final question to all of you. Is this permanent, or is this a fad that, you know, is there something of depth here that's going to change our ways of interacting with art?
I definitely think this is not going anywhere. I think selfies are going to be commonplace and more common as people become more and more reliant on their phones. But keep in mind, you know, Van Gogh himself made a lot of self-portraits, as did Rembrandt and Durer. So perhaps this is, you know, a new type of artwork and just a new way that how people are expressing themselves.
Yep. Okay. Well, go ahead. Syra, I don't want to cut you off.
Sorry, just one quick thing is, you know, when you when neuroscientists do research on the brain, the vast majority of our brain that's devoted to processing senses is devoted to processing vision. So we've evolved to be highly dependent on our vision and to be very good at determining information about our surroundings from our sense of vision. And so that's not going anywhere. The trick is, can we help our society evolved to learn more through images, to take them with you know, greater purpose and to understand them and to be more critical of them. And I think that's what you're pointing to.
Okay. I want to thank all three of my guests this morning or this afternoon. And hopefully people will plunge into the Contemporary Arts Center new exhibit opening later this month and make the trek up to the Cleveland Museum of Art. And, of course, the Cincinnati Art Museum is right there on the top of the hill all the time.
Thanks for listening to this podcast of Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our programs are available on the website, wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley.